There is a certain theme that's often used in comedy shows, or at least when I was a kid, it was a scenario that was often repeated, go back to time and time again, and the scenario would involve a person of importance, a person of stature. Maybe he's the boss of the company, or the mayor, or the governor, somebody who you normally treat with great respect. But for whatever reason, in this situation, he's incognito. People don't recognize who he is. And there's someone who's interacting with him, doesn't realize how important this person is, and therefore he's treating him disrespectfully and doing all kinds of terrible things, not recognizing the importance of this very distinguished individual. And the audience watches and laughs as this hapless person digs himself deeper and deeper into a hole, getting himself more and more in trouble because of the disrespect that he's heaping on this person, and he doesn't know who the person is. And then ultimately he has to figure out how to get himself out of the trouble. So as a child, I used to wonder about this situation because I thought maybe I should prepare. Who knows? Maybe it'll happen to me someday. Maybe someday I'll be distinguished or I'll be important or older or something, and somebody will treat me disrespectfully, not properly appreciating just how important and dignified I am, and they'll do something disrespectful. And then when they find out, they'll come to apologize. And I have to start thinking in advance, what am I going to do? Because it's not such a simple question. Because on the one hand, when they apologize, so your instinct is, you want to be a nice guy. You want to say, oh, it's all right, it's fine, you didn't know, don't worry about it. But at the same time, that's not really such a nice response. Because if you're too quick to forgive, you're essentially saying that, yeah, it's fine that you treat everyone else that way. It doesn't matter that you're nasty to normal people. You didn't realize how important I am. And is that really the message that you want to send? So I wasn't really sure how to handle the situation that may someday come up. So we know we get our guidance from Gedolim stories. So luckily one day I heard a Gadol story that addressed the situation. There could have been a number of different Gedolim who fit in the story, but let's say it's the Beis Halevi, because if it was, it'll work well with what we want to say afterwards. That in this story, the Beis Halevi, if it was him, was on a train where these things tend to happen, and a person on the train didn't recognize him and treated him disrespectfully and kept going and going. And finally, somebody said to him, don't you know who that is? That's the great Rabbi Yehoshua Ber Soloveitchik, the original Rabbi Yehoshua Ber Soloveitchik. That's the Beis Halevi. And the person's mortified. He had no idea. He goes over and he tries to apologize. And the Beis Halevi says to him, I'm sorry. I can't forgive you. I can't be mochel. I can't be mochel because I'm not the victim. You treated me this way because you thought I was a simple poor person, a simple ani on the train. That's why you acted the way you did. You never would have said any of those things if you had known I was a prominent rabbi. So now you have to go find another simple poor person on the train and ask him for mechila because he's the person who you were really disrespecting, and that's something that you're going to have to fix. So if the story was indeed about the Beis Halevi, it works well with a comment that he has in this week's parsha. He notes that there is a statement in a pasuk that seems to require a little bit of explanation. We read about, in this week's parsha, the attack on Dina. And the brothers of Dina, Shimon and Levi, are extremely upset. They have tremendous anger at what happened. And they say, how could this be? Ki nevala asa b'Yisrael, ishkav es bas Yaakov, v'chein lo yaseh. That this is a disgraceful travesty, terrible thing to attack the daughter of Yaakov. It's disgusting. And it's not done. So the Beis Halevi comments, seems like it's a tonal shift. This is a travesty, this is terrible, an unbelievable crime, and it's not diminished. Terrible, it's not done. How do you see that as all part of one sentence? And the Beis Halevi wrote that we could explain this based on a Gemara in Maseches Bava Kamma, on Daf Samach Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells a story about someone who's about to go on vacation, and he has a bag of gold coins in his house. So he wants to ask the lady next door to watch the bag of gold coins. But he doesn't totally trust her either, so he doesn't want her to know just how valuable the bag is. So he says, here's a bag of silver coins. Please watch them for me. So says the Gemara, if it turns out that she was negligent, she was poshea, and something happened to the coins, she has to pay. But she's liable only to the standard of silver coins, because that's what she accepted. She only accepted liability for silver coins. She didn't know they were gold, so she's only responsible to that level. But if she herself was mazik the coins, she herself actively destroyed the coins, so then she's liable for the whole thing. So what's the difference? If she didn't know they were gold, why isn't that an excuse here as well? Why don't we limit her liability in that situation also? So Gemara basically explains that what right did she have to be doing this? Since she was doing something she shouldn't have been doing, so then it's not an excuse to say, I didn't realize how bad it was. If she was doing something that was innocent, okay. If it happened to have a worse effect, maybe that's an excuse. But if she's acting in a way that's wrong to begin with, it's not a defense to say, oh, I didn't appreciate just how bad it was. So says the Beis Halevi, that's what the brothers were conveying here. Yet, yes, this is a terrible thing that happened, that somebody of such importance, a family of such prominence, the family of Yaakov, to treat them in such a disgusting fashion, that's a horrible travesty. But wait, maybe there's an excuse. Maybe they'll say, we didn't know. We don't know who Yaakov is. We don't know exactly his stature. We didn't realize that that was the situation. So what's the response to that excuse? V'chein lo yaseh. That this is something you don't do to anyone. That this is behavior that is wrong, no matter who you're dealing with. So if you're acting in such a fashion, it's not an excuse. At least, as some of the later Sfarim point out, the Dinei Shamayim is not an excuse to say, oh, I didn't realize it was a person of such stature when I was acting this way. And the entire gravity of the offense all gets blamed on the perpetrator. And that's a very powerful statement. What the Beis Halevi is basically telling us is that it's one thing if you have someone who's worthy of some extra deference, of some extra respect, and people around him didn't know that, okay, so that's understandable. But if you're acting in a way that's an offense to basic kavod habrios, that would be wrong no matter who you're dealing with, so then that's not an excuse, and the entire price has to be paid. And it's true for many reasons. Yes, it's true the person may turn out to be the mayor or the governor in disguise, and then you're in big trouble, and that's one issue. A few weeks from now, we'll read in Parshas Vayigash that when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, they can't respond, they're totally blown away. And the Medrash famously comments, Oy lanum yom hadin, oy lanum yom hatochacha, that they're so stung by his rebuke, by his musar, that they can't say anything. And everyone asks the question, there's so many beautiful interpretations of that Medrash, that doesn't seem like he really gave any musar. All he said was, Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avichai. He doesn't say anything of rebuke. And Rav Palm, Zichrono Livracha, commented that the greatest musar you can find is when you appreciate that someday the tables might be turned, and that the people who you don't think are so important and who you treat with disrespect may someday be in a reversed position. And it might be you who's in the lower position, thinking about how that could happen, as the Gemara suggests, that in the Olam HaEmes, in the true world, things could indeed find themselves reversed, and those who are distinguished here may find themselves on the bottom over there, and vice versa. So getting a glimpse of that, getting a sense of how that could happen, that's tremendously powerful. So when the brothers saw that here, this little Yosef, who they thought was a brat, and who they sold into slavery, and who they thought they could just do whatever they wanted to, now he's the vice king? He's in charge of that? to get a little glimpse of how things can flip around that way, yes, that's very powerful din. That's very powerful tochacha. So yes, for sure that's true. But it's also the case that even without such a possibility, there is a basic kavod abrios that is a fundamental axiom of halacha. And without appreciating that, all the other kavod that exists in the world can't exist, can't find any room to build itself upon. I remember my father, Zichrono Livracha, was a yahrzeit, was this past week. He had a practice that if the phone rang, and these were in the days before cell phones and caller ID, so you didn't know who was calling. So if the phone rang and he didn't have time to speak on the phone, he would answer the phone, he'd pick it up right away, and say, "Can I call you back?" Without finding out first who he was talking to. And he explained to us afterwards that he was doing this because he was afraid that if he would say, "Who's calling?" and then he would say, "I'm sorry, I can't speak now, can I call you back?" that the caller might think, "Oh, it's because of who I am, because I'm not some important guy. If somebody important was calling, you'd have time to speak, but because it's just me, you don't have time." So he wanted the caller to know that it didn't matter who was calling, he didn't have time to speak right now. So the first thing he would say before he found out who it was, he would say, "Listen, can I call you back? I can't speak right now, by the way, who is this, so I can call you back?" So the recognition that there is a basic kavod that has to be present for everyone, and it's only within that that we can then move to greater levels of respect, greater levels of esteem, that's something that we find embedded in halacha. The Talmud tells us in a number of places, five places in Shas, that there is a basic concept of kavod habrios, of human dignity. Humanity is created in B'Tselem Elokim, and therefore must be treated as such. And this principle is such a fundamental concept, the Gemara says, gadol kavod habrios, that it sometimes overrides various halachic principles. If there's a conflict between kavod habrios and certain other dinim, kavod habrios will prevail. And we can understand, okay, if humanity is created in God's image, we need to show respect to God through humanity, and therefore it's a very dominant concept, can override many other areas. But surprising is that we sometimes find, in certain limited situations, that it even overrides Torah law, which means that when we have an opportunity to show direct honor to God, nonetheless, in certain circumstances, he steps aside and says, "Show honor to human beings instead." And this is a concept we find in a Medrash in Parshas Balak, where the Medrash tells us that you could have thought maybe that the best Kiddush Hashem you could find, that a great display in the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum of Miracles would be Bilam's donkey. That here, this image of a miracle that God did on behalf of the Jewish people, that would be a great symbol of Kiddush Hashem. And yet, it wasn't meant to be. God made sure that the donkey wasn't around anymore because it was an embarrassment to Bilam, because of the covet of Bilam. And the Medrash goes on to say that you see how much God himself worries about the kavod even of Rishayim like Bilam. All the more so we should worry about the dignity of everyone else. And it's a very hard concept to understand. Because it's one thing to say, okay, we should show kavod to God and we should show kavod to people created in his image. But if we have to choose, if we have an opportunity for a Kiddush Hashem, and we say, no, instead we'll worry about the kavod of somebody so terrible like Bilam. How does that make sense? Why don't we cut out the middleman? And why don't we show kavod directly to God? And it seems what's being expressed here is that there's a recognition that when it comes to kavod, all kavod is built on a certain foundation of dignity. And God receives kavod through his creations, because people are honorable. And therefore, the more kavod and dignity that is granted to a basic, simple human being, the more ultimately that can be built on top of that and can go to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the ultimate sense. But if there's no recognition of the dignity of the individual, If human beings are not mechubadim, are not people who are treated with dignity, so then the whole notion of kavod going back to the Ribbono Shel Olam is itself compromised, and therefore it even makes sense for situations such as kavod abrios, overwhelming even sometimes the din minat Torah, or even the situation with Bilam, in order to acknowledge that humanity has to be treated with a basic dignity. The episode of Dina and Shechem that we read about in the Parsha is an event of sexual assault. And this is a crime, and all of its abizrayu, everything that leads up to it, which has gotten renewed attention in the United States over the past few weeks to an unbelievable degree. And the sensitivity that has been raised, and the shift in attitude in a very short period of time, is stunning to watch. And while it would be hoped that as Bnei HaYeshiva were already very far removed from any such activities, any kind of reinforcement in society of that value is something which hopefully is beneficial to all of society, and hopefully is something that we can learn from. And together with that, the recognition that any crime in that category, even on a much lower level, even something which doesn't rise to that same degree but is anywhere along the path, or even anywhere parallel to the path, very often involves one individual treating another with disdain, without a recognition that they have importance and they have dignity, and therefore they feel that they can do whatever they want, they can act however they want, because they're more important, because they're of higher stature, and because whoever they're dealing with doesn't really matter. And our parsha reminds us that there is no such thing as stature without basic kavod abrios, without a recognition that all of humanity is created b'tzelem Elokim, that commands us to recognize that fact with everything that we say and that everything that we do, and that if we fail to appreciate this, and if we fail to recognize this in how we treat others, then there is nowhere for any kind of importance to build itself. Thank you very much.